honourable members, from their constituency areas, they look fresh and tired also. I don't know why, because they are from the recess, but as the politicians, we don't have any recess, we don't have any time to spend with our families, but this is a call from the people. Let me welcome the officials from the department today. Also my staff, I welcome everybody in the house. At least we must start our meeting, because I don't have time, Honorable Whip and Honorable members. I think at about 11 I must leave this house, because if I were not yet finished, I will hand over to my co-chair, Honorable Mabe. I've got another meeting with the department in the Eastern Cape, so I must leave. We are so unfortunate in the Eastern Cape. We don't have more flights. We have got only one taxi. If that taxi left you, you can't catch anything. So I don't think this meeting will take long, but in our agenda, before our agenda, we've got many apologies. There's two apologies from the honourable members from COPE, Honourable Makubela and Honourable De Beer. And also we've got another apology from Honourable Makadla, who is attending another meeting in Joburg. Honourable Prince Zulu, we didn't see him in this meeting, but every time we receive the apologies. So we've got that crisis about the membership. When we're supposed to attend the meeting, there's a lot of apologies. So that thing we must take into consideration, because there are things that we needed to have a quorum. Even today, if we are going to take a decision, it means that we'll have a problem, because we are having a short of one member. So maybe Honorable Mabe is trying to assist us. I don't know. Are you assisting us?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've tried my best, but it's unfortunate that the person that I knew that he would definitely come and assist us with the quorum is not in Cape Town.
No, let's proceed with our meeting. But if there are some decisions that are going to be taken, we will see from there. But let's proceed with our meeting, I think. Okay.
Honourable members, my apologies that the bill before you, the sectional titles schemes management bill, it's the wrong bill. The messenger went to the stores and they gave him the wrong bill. He's gone back to get the sectional titles one. So, but we'll be starting with B13 in any case, which is the deeds registries amendment. By the time we finish with it, he will be back with the correct bill. Sorry about the inconvenience. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We've got the agenda in front of us where it says follow-up briefing on the Departmental Rural Development and Land Reform, on the Deeds Registry Amendment Bill, Sectional Titles Amendment Bill, B13-2010 and B14-2010. I think what we're going to do now, I think I will hand over to the department to give us what is, because there are submissions. We all of us have the submissions. So I'll hand over to the department to give us what is it in the submission that they need to be, maybe to be discussed or not. But I'll hand over to the department on those submissions first. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is John Sodetsi. I'm from the Department of Rural Affairs, it's a new department, Rural Development and Land Reform. With the bill, we have received comments from the public, as the committee had instructed that the bill should be once again taken to the public arena. The most fortunate part of things is that the very submissions that were given by the public were the very same submissions that they did give in the past, which we dealt with at the portfolio committee. But the only thing that now they've used new mechanisms. The last time the commentary from South African Property Owners Association was given by the Law Society of South Africa is the very same commentary which we dealt with there in that portfolio committee meeting. The same position still applies with regard to these issues, because the issues are the same. It's just that it's the identity of the presenter that have changed. With the proposals that are suggested by SAPOA, they are merely saying what the department says in another form, which to us we believe it's neither here nor there, because what they are just saying the same thing, but to them maybe it seems they would it would sound better if it is being said by them. So these comments were received the last time, and no amendments were approved by the portfolio committee, because the proposal that they are giving it doesn't change anything. And let me start by dealing with it. Firstly, what they are saying, they are saying, Chairperson, that we must remove the word "or record" from clause 4. But there's one thing that they are missing. In terms of section 31W of the Disgraces Act, there are certain documents that are submitted, like court orders and insolvency orders. Those insolvency orders must have the identity, the full identity of the persons that are relating to. Because, for instance, there can be many Tom Joneses in life. Now we want to distinguish which one does the sequestration order refer to. So there is no way that the proposed amendments can be used for issues as they suggest, like a rate clearance certificate. Documents like rate clearance certificates don't relate to persons, but relate to property. So their comment insofar as section, the clause 4, is it section 17? Yes, clause 4 of the bill. It doesn't hold water, because they are missing the crucial points of registration. So that was the position in the past in regard to this comment, and that is still the position even now. Yeah, for that one from the banking, from the SAPOA. Then the second commentary that came from the Banking Association of South Africa, where they're relating to clause 2B. The truth of the matter is that the Deeds Office is in the news almost daily, precisely because of the current wording of section 2. Because what is happening, some people in the Deeds Offices, they don't respect chief registrar's circulars, and now we're having a problem with the current wording, to an extent that we are even having a qualified audit report with regard to the very same wording as they suggest that we must keep. Now, in order for us to improve the situation whereby each and everybody must know that one is compelled to follow a chief registrar's circular, it becomes necessary that the legislation should be amended, because as the current position is prevailing, we're having problems. Firstly, I think it's a well-known fact that the Deeds Offices are in the news on a daily basis. It's primarily because these chief registrar circulars are not being adhered to in the Deeds Offices. So we have the view as a department that the changes are necessary, and if they were not, we wouldn't be having these problems. We're having these problems because these changes are necessary. And even this has been confirmed by an audit report whereby it was found by the auditors that the discrepancies in the deeds offices are compromising the efficacy of the registration system. Thank you, Chair. That is insofar as those proposals regarding the proposed amendment of the current Section 2. Now, they've also commented on the proposed amendments regarding Section 9, whereby they are suggesting that the composition of the board should be changed, whereby I think they also deem themselves to maybe to be interested parties for the purposes of the operation of the board. But the truth is this, that the board is comprised of experts in deeds registration, and to our knowledge, the banking council doesn't have any expertise in registration law. So the problem is not, as they say, that is whereby they are alleging that the problems are being created because the board is not representative of all the necessary stakeholders. No, that's not the case. The necessary stakeholders in that board are experts in registration law, and the banking council, they are not experts. So we do not support the changing of the composition in order to address the problem they are seeing. The only problem we are having is because it does happen at times that one member, for one reason or the other, cannot honor a board meeting. That's why we want to have an alternative member to take his place, so that we can always have our quorum. So the problem is not because of the composition of the board, as it is being suggested by the banking council. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I see your hand, Honorable Orlando. I see your hand, Honorable Mabe. There's an apostolic honor, but there's an apology that I didn't receive. I received late from the Acting Director General, Dr. Anne Makgalameng. She's unable to attend our meeting. Yes, Honorable Mkhoro.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted clarity. This is sounds very complicated. One doesn't get a clear idea. My clarity is, who are the present board or what? Who are the present board, and who are the suggested experts? I hear the name of a banking council. I don't know whether that is the suggested expert in the registration. Can you just clarify that so that we can have a clear idea? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mother.
Thanks, Chair. We always get to amend certain words within, I think, different bills and all that, but we never get to understand how it reads, you know, after we have amended. Can we then get someone who can then read it for us, you know, after amendment, and then tell us what does it mean after replacing those words?
Honorable Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'd just like to ask on this banking, the Banking Association. They maintain here that there's been problems with attendance at these meetings. How many meetings have they not been able to get a quorum? They say there were 50 meetings. I don't know how many meetings, but 20 they weren't able to get a quorum. I hear what you say, you want an alternative member to be on the board, so there will always be a quorum. Is that being attended to? How are you going to overcome this? Is attendance a big problem at the moment? Thanks. Thank you, Chair.
Hand over to the department.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the very first question. The board presently, the members are the Chief Registrar of Deeds, who's the chairperson, and the Registrar of Deeds, who is also a member of the department, a departmental official, and two conveyancers. So that it's being constituted by five members. Now, the suggested experts though the Banking Council is, it doesn't come out clear, but it seems to me they are suggesting to have representation in the board, but they don't say it specifically clear. So we are assuming that they believe themselves to be the experts, but they didn't.
Are they the people who are making the suggestion? The banking, what do you call it? Council,
yes, the banking council. Yeah. They are the ones who are making the suggestion, yes. Now, coming to the second issue that was raised by the honorable member, I think the secretariat will be the appropriate person to assist us with the wedding as after amendments. Yeah. Then if there's anything to explain, we'll explain the difference between the current position and the position as proposed. Now, coming to the problems that the honorable member has been talking about, attendance. Firstly, the board meets minimum once a year. And this board, it's a technical board. It's not a board that meets every 5 minutes for the purposes of maybe making policy and so forth. It meets once a year, but it can also meet even more than once if maybe there's some pressing business. But experience has been that it has been meeting only once a year. So it's only one meeting that maybe we're having a problem with. It's not a board that meets regularly. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, if I must just clarify a question with regard to the Banking Council's proposal for the presentation of the board members. In terms of Section 54 of the Sectional Titles Act, a Sectional Titles Regulation Board is also established to deal with matters of, pertaining to the Sectional Titles Act. And that board is very wide represented. The Banking Council, for instance, are a member on that board. You have estate agent members, NAMA, National Agency of Managing Agents. That is because the rules form part, the rules of sectional title schemes form part of the regulations to the Act. That's why that Act is so widely represented. To look after financial issues of schemes, etc. The Deeds Registries Act, on the other hand, is purely registration issues. That's why it is a more the members represented on that board as conveyances that has a more a knowledge of registration issues and registrars of deeds. That's why that board is. There's not really any financial matters or tenure matters discussed in the Deeds Registries Act. That's why that board is much smaller and not so widely represented.
Thank you. I find honourable. Okay. I think we must move to sectional titles amendment now.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the comments that we received from the public, the very first one, it comes from Van der Bos, whereby he is talking about Rule 42 of Annex 8. But the fact of the matter is that rules are secondary legislation. They have got another procedure to deal with. They don't go through the parliamentary procedure. So I think the best thing that can be done is to respond to him in writing, explaining to the position about rules being secondary legislation. So here, this comment is misplaced because rules don't go through the normal parliamentary procedure. The minister deals with the rules on the recommendations that are made by Sectional Titles Regulations Board, which is established in terms of Section 54 of this Act. What we can do as a department, we can forward this comment to that board for its consideration.
Thank you.
also talks to Rule 71. The very same comments that I've made in regard to this still applies. But this matter is also a matter that has been taken up by Human Settlements. Human Settlements is having a bill called Ombud Schemes Bill, which is primarily designed at addressing issues of conflict in sectional title schemes. So we can also convey the processes that are unfolding to the inquirer. So this comment, quite honestly, is misplaced. But we as the department, we can write a letter to him educating him about the processes that are unfolding regarding the issue of dispute resolution in sectional title schemes. Now, the other commentary came from the Organization of Civic Rights, whereby they are saying that the Act should be amended. They are not responding to what is contained in the bill as such, but they are coming with fresh suggestions, whereby they are saying the conduct rules shouldn't be the ones which can be used to incorporate certain regulations. For instance, they want to have the Act amended such that the body corporate and trustees shall not have the right to interview an owner's prospective tenant. This comment is also misplaced because sectional titles are private property. So in accordance with the current law, bodies corporate in terms of Regulation 30 sub 4, they are always free to regulate their matters in whatever way they want to. They can add to the existing rules, they can wipe all the rules, make new rules. So the legislature has deemed it proper that the body corporate should regulate their matters. And I don't see a way whereby legislation can be made such that those body corporates are unable to regulate their matters. Now, he is also concerned about numbers, whereby he says the body corporate shall not have the right to restrict the number of occupants per dwelling. There's one dimension that the inquirer forgets about these issues. This is a local government matter, whereby regulations of local government determine how many people can stay in a square, in a certain size of a building, certain square meters or so. Primarily, I think these rules are good rules, that is the local government rules, for issues of hygiene and other issues. So I don't think that these proposals are indeed acceptable because of those reasons.
Suggest that he stops there and we ask clarity as it goes, so that we shouldn't forget what that we want to be clarified. So I suggest that he stops there, then we ask question for clarity.
Okay, you can continue.
All right. Now, he's talking about quite a number of regulations. He's talking about those regulations being misplaced. I suppose he means in this committee. And at the same time, he talks about they as a department can write a letter to clarify these things, I think, to the people who are coming with this, who misplaced these rules. Now, I would like to know, we now as a committee, does he or department need a permission from us or a consent from us, or either of the two, a consent from us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The department does not need the consent of this committee, but however, we are just conveying that sentiment to the committee that the department is prepared to take whatever responsibility in with regard to this matter, so that the member of the public should be educated and should see that his matter has been attended to by government.
Okay, I think honourable members, we need the department to write his response to us, so that we can able to communicate with the stakeholders. At least if we can have your written responses to us, at least it will make better to us. At least we must have also, because now we'll forget what you're saying, because as honourable Mkhoro saying that we'll miss some other things that is very important. So if you can just do these responses in writing, it will be make sense to us.
Can I get this? Do you want me to respond to the committee, then the committee respond to the member of the public, or should I respond to the member of the public directly, then put the committee in the loop as to what did I say to the member of the committee? Which one? So I'll be responding to the committee, then the committee will respond to the member. Thank you.
Chair, if I can just clarify, the next board meeting will be next year, normally in April. So what we will need is proposals for the amendment of the regulations, and that proposal will be contained in a government notice to the minister for the amendment of the rules and the regulations. So it will not be a sectional titles amendment bill. The rules and the regulations are being dealt with in a government notice, so it's separate from the bill.
From the SAPOA, once again, I'll request my colleague to deal with this.
Chair, that was it is the same proposal that was brought to the Portfolio Committee by the Law Society of South Africa. Section 13A provides for a body corporate to approach a court in instances where it is unable to obtain a unanimous resolution at a general meeting. However, Section 13A is made subject to the provisions of Subsection 3C. And Section 3C stipulates that when a resolution adversely affects the propriety rights of a member, such resolution shall not be regarded as having been passed unless it the resolution has been made in writing. Now, the Law Society wants or SAPOA in this instance, wants to affect grammatical. They're happy with it. However, they say that, from a grammatical point, it is proposed that a separate subsection provided to provide that a court grant leave in terms of Section 3A shall be entitled to grant such relief. However, the problem is that if a member's rights are affected, you may notwithstanding the section say notwithstanding the provision, so you cannot go to court unless you have a unanimous resolution, and we want to open the door. The problem is sectional titles cannot go to the court unless they have that unanimous resolution. We want to open the door to say
to say notwithstanding the provisions and take the word subject out and just put the word notwithstanding it. And that will mean that even though they don't have a unanimous resolution, the body corporate will still be in a position to approach the court to get a resolution. It's just to open the door up for further discussion and court. Then, if we can move on to clause 10. Clause 10 provides for the amendment of section 29(3) for the consent of all bondholders to be obtained with regard to the registration of notarial agreements over or notarial contracts over the common property. In such instance, the consent of all bondholders must be obtained. The proposal there was that it's difficult for notaries to obtain such such consents. We always said all the consents must be obtained by the date of registration of the notarial deed. However, bonds are cancelled on a daily basis, and they're also registered on a daily basis, and it's therefore difficult to obtain all the consents. And we therefore suggest that Section 29 be amended to obtain those consents as at the date of the signing of the agreement. We also have the opinion that the notarial agreement are drafted by the notary, and therefore it's the notary's duty and obligation to see that all such consents are obtained. So we therefore don't support the proposal by them to not amend Section 29. We just feel it is the notary's responsibility to see that those consents are obtained as at the date of execution of the deed.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything from the department? Is there anything from your side?
Chair, I don't know if you want us just to talk to the proposal that we had for the amendment of Section 34 of the Deeds Registries Act. We also discussed this at the last meeting, and I don't know if we can just take the Deeds Registries bill. It's basically the same amendment that's affected in both the bills. If we look at the Deeds Registries Amendment Bill on page 3, right at the bottom, the amendment of Section 34 in Clause 5, the amendment of Section 34 of the Act, as it currently reads, it says the provisions of subsection 1 shall apply with the necessary changes to any person who is the sole owner of a piece of land and who wishes to obtain a certificate of registered title of any fraction of his or her undivided share in land. What we wanted to do is to delete the word sole, and it's in line 50, to omit the word sole and to insert in line 50 after the words of, the whole or of share in. What happens here is Section 34 currently provides for an owner to obtain a certificate of registered title for his undivided share in a piece of land, but only in instances where that piece of land is held in joint ownership. The Act does not provide for an owner to obtain a certificate of registered title where he owns that whole of the land, to, for instance, take one-third, one-third, one-third certificate. It doesn't boil down to subdivision. It just will allow an owner to transfer, for instance, a third share. If I transfer my third share to you, you will, for instance, have 4 months of the year occupation of that townhouse or whatever the case may be. But we're also trying now to just clarify it, that when you only have a one-third share, that you can further fractionalize it to take further certificate of registered titles for that one-third share. So basically the same as it is here, we just want to clarify the issue. That's why we take the sole out and just bring it. And if we read it now the way we want to amend it, it will read the provisions of subsection 1 shall apply with the necessary changes to any person who is the owner of, the whole of, or a share in a piece of land. So you're the owner of the whole of or a share in that piece of land, and who wishes to obtain a certificate of registered title of any fraction of his undivided share in such land. And the same amendment is affected then in section 15 of the sectional titles amendment bill. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. We have got these amendments, but we have got a little problem now because we are waiting for other members to come to adopt because we are short of members, but we are waiting for the members to come. Are they coming?
So why don't we maybe break for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that, Honourable Member, but I'm just saying that because I was here, there was no problem. We have president. Okay. We can break for 5 minutes, at least after that we can continue. Yeah.
No, we didn't do that.
We didn't do that because, yeah.